What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 112 of Valleytown. I'm Chanman V, and joining me today is Noxious, who went catatonic on me for a second there. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Doing good. Been looking at some of the Hearthstone subreddit topics that came up. It seems like there's a lot of movement in the past 2 days compared to, I think, what happened over the past week.
Yeah, and Heroic Brawl just zooming up right now, you know, the classic tracking heroic brawl records or whatever it is. It's like crazy. Yeah. But I want to welcome back the Rat. I feel like you're here like every week now, man. So we love having you. So pleasure having you back again, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second week in a row. We'll see how long this goes for. I enjoy being on the show.
So. He's just ready to break the streak. Right, ready to get kicked off of here, right?
It's good though, because you're like for one of the guests that we have. Oftentimes when we bring guests on, they don't talk as much, right? Like you are very easygoing with the talking, so it's really simple to get you like invested easy in a topic and getting your thoughts about something. It's true. Sometimes, man, it takes everything. Yeah, so it's honestly a really refreshing thing.
No, definitely. Rat is not going to have a shortage of opinions, so that's why we like so much. But we got a lot to talk about today. It's been a pretty busy week, surprisingly, since there hasn't really been that much news come out for the expansion this last week. But we've had a lot of stuff going on, which has been pretty fun. So we'll probably start off with some Heroic Brawl talk, and then, of course, cover some of the things going on global games. Ben's rap, of course, is being crazy this week. Then we'll go talk some decks. It's been a while since we talked some decks, so I brought a deck just that I thought would be interesting to maybe cover. Maybe you can play in the Heroic Brawl if you guys are going to do that tonight. And then my arena journey, or it's me starting my arena journey, and maybe just talking a little bit about that. Mechatoris Workshop's back. We've still got lots of cards. So we're going to try to get a few more of them, up and on the show and talk about a little bit. And then Q&A, got a good number of questions too. So I get all the questions and all the cards, guys. So I try to get as many as I can, but we definitely have some backlog. So be patient. Hopefully you'll see your question, your cards in the upcoming future. All right, let's talk some. Oh, actually, the first thing I had was news. Why don't we talk about some of the Journey to N'Goro news that's happened in the last week? Mike Dinesh started off the week with an interview he did, and he gave a few more details. Some of these details we already know, but let's see. This was actually with an interview with Tempestorm, Sean at Tempestorm. So I just want to make sure we credit him for all of this. But some of the things he announced was that there was at least one more card that's going to interact with Death Rattle minions, or works with Death Rattle minions. What do you think that is, guys? Any idea? Like, I mean, I hope it's not +1/+1 or anything like that. Like, please,
I'm guessing like copying, shuffling, making everything Death Rattle in your deck. Like, imagine Mistcaller, right? Ooh. 6 mana, play a minion, give a specific Death Rattle to everything in your deck.
Kind of like Soul of the Forest.
I'm saying yay for that. Yeah, like a massive Soul of the Forest. I would love to see something like that to an extent.
Okay. What else could it be? I'm trying to think. I mean, double your Death Rattle. We've kind of had that in the past.
Well, it's got to be something that makes them like discouraged, I feel like, to have Sylvanas alongside of it.
Yeah.
So maybe like activate Death Rattle in your hand or something of this nature. Like,
Sylvanas going bye-bye, dude. At least in the standard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're taking it out of standard, maybe to make room for this card. So,
okay.
Maybe like a 2-mana spell says activate a Death Rattle minion in your hand.
Fang Death. In your hand. That would be badass. See?
Oh, okay.
I would dig that. That's
Holy
a very
smokes.
Good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Design wise, that would be.
For a second, Nox just thought that I forgot that Fang Death.
Oh God.
That was like Fang Death, anyone? Okay, yeah.
I tried that card so many times. Man, always disappointing, man. Totally disappointing. That would be great for Hunter, though. If it was a card in your hand, and I mean, you could trigger Death Rattles in your hand. Holy crap, you could fill the board with just rats and hyenas and
random Death Rattle, specific ones. Well, then you need to decide which ones you want to run and which ones you don't want to run, and it kind of balances it out, I feel like. No, yeah. I mean, like, if it was a random Death Rattle in your hand.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, that'd be cool, actually.
Then you need to play, like, your cheaper Death Rattles before you can use the effect, so you can't just go, like, unless you only have high main, you can't just be like...
Oh, my God. The guy's like, I play Lock and Load. Come at me, bro. He plays nothing. but a high cost death rattle is in lock and load.
Mm-hmm. Death rattle seems to be a theme for Hunter. I mean, you can kind of say that over time since we had Princess and we had Pain Death and everything, but I feel like it's becoming more and more clear. It's becoming the foundation for it, I think, is starting to set up more and more too. I was even messing around with Forlorn Stalker like last week sometime, and surprisingly, it's not crazy bad.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
It's actually not terrible. It's not great.
It's definitely not great. Yeah,
it's not great because there's so many three drops anyways, but it's. I don't know, the concept of buffing death rattles is in some ways better than the grimy goon stuff that they do have in Hunter. So sure. I was just messing around with it. It's interesting. Let's see, what else do we got here? We've got elementals are our focus. They're important, cool. And kind of combining this, and Yang Wu actually was giving an interview too, that he alluded to elementals being, there will be more synergistic elemental things that are more than just +1/+1. So, like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I guess it's kind of like along the same lines as the death rattle stuff. Nothing that we didn't know. Elementals we knew would be a big part of this, but it sounds like it'll be even more so from a standpoint of like maybe parasitic and that sort of thing. What's another thing? Quests can be triggered at any point. I guess we already knew that.
Right. The moment you complete the requirement for the quest is going to trigger instantly. And you're going to be able to get the rewards. There's not been too much information on Mike Donay's side. I feel like most of it came from Yang Wu's.
Yeah.
New information.
What did he say? Yang Wu also mentioned that Elise would be back. Not a reprint of the old Elise Starseeker, but more like a Deathwing reprint. You know, him coming back, her coming back, probably with a different title. I don't know what it's going to be. Elise. Elemental Seeker, Dino Seeker,
let's do
something
it
like that. Yeah, but she's going to be back, and she's going to have a new ability too. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it makes sense now after seeing her in the video. Everybody was wondering, what, you know, isn't she getting retired? But apparently, none of the other League of Explorers will be back. It's just going to be Elise.
I have a question for you too. Like, do you think? Because I would agree with the idea that Elise was the most pure fun explorer that we had in that expansion. Like, Finley was fine, it was competitive, Bran was as well,
yeah,
Reno as well, but I would argue that Elise was clearly the made to be fun card that never, like, it's not competitive play, but if you're gonna bring something back with a spin, I think that's the only way really that you can go super wild and maintain the identity of the card, right?
Yeah, what would be the spin though? I mean, the legendary was great. Like, you're right, I feel like Elise was one of those cards that just satisfy those people like myself, they just love greed, you know, just love that feeling of getting, you know, just the crazy wacky cards at the end in a big way. So I don't know how you would spin that.
Probably, you know, like, shuffle dinosaurs into your deck, replace your deck with dinosaurs,
and
then you just keep drawing them. I don't know. I wouldn't mind it. There's a lot of ways you can make her fun.
It's definitely like at least Star Seeker is like definitely a very unique effect. It's like hard to replicate in terms of what it actually accomplishes within the game. But I do like the idea that they're bringing back a character that's kind of iconic, and they keep bringing it back. Like, a lot of other card games do the same thing where they release like characters that you can attach yourself to, and then they re-release them over and over and over and over and over again.
Jay Skaruk, oh my god. Magic the Gathering does that so much.
Yes, they have cards called Planeswalkers, and they tend to be cards that are good enough to see play very intentionally, and they kind of allow players to attach themselves somewhat to the character and give them like some relatability.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, yeah. So more things are going to be coming. Oh, a turtle race too. Some kind of turtle. Turtle tribish type of
turtle
thing.
People.
Turtle people.
They call it
whatever.
Turtle people.
Yeah, turtle people.
I won't argue with turtle people.
Okay.
I like it.
They're actually called turtle people? And
well, I mean, they presented to the, like, surely they have a name. I don't know.
I know. I wasn't sure if
there's
like a WoW thing. It's like turtle Yongui, people.
No. They don't exist in WoW as far as I'm aware. So this is off canon completely. Blizzard is finally into the realm now where they got you know, Hearthstone's grown enough that it doesn't have to borrow art pieces from the WoW TCG. They can actually just get custom art for the game. We've seen that happen since League of Explorers, and now they're going full mad. They've created a race now, so that we're getting turtle people. The craziest it got in World of Warcraft was something like the Kaluuk, which were effectively Tuskar. Like, they just look like nothing. We've seen them in Hearthstone, but the turtle people are going to be new, and for all we know, that might actually show up in World of Warcraft. So it might be the, you know, wow, the spin-off that becomes the spinner. Like, there's a chance.
Hearthstone there's dictates what's in World of Warcraft. That's pretty
it fun. Could happen. Yeah. I would not be surprised.
I'm not holding out on them creating new artwork, though.
Wow.
They have some here and there, but it's, as someone who has, I like went back after I played Hearthstone for a year and sold off all of my like Warcraft cards in bulk. Like, I never really played the game a ton, but I did get the packs as prizes for winning in other card games because they had loot cards, and then the loot cards were really expensive and you could sell the loot cards. So I had a ton left over and I sold them bulk and I organized them. I remember just going through it and just seeing all of the cards that are in Hearthstone, because it's really just like, more than 90% of the art is borrowed.
Oh yeah, complete. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I guess.
But here's a question for an expansion as specific as dinosaurs. I mean, how much is there to borrow in the world? Exactly. That's the reason why I'm going. Like, you know, I expect them to do something a bit crazier going forward, because there's really nothing. I mean, in the existing pool of art for dinosaur themed cards. Or at least there's very little.
King Crush and Raptors, that's about it.
It's not that I mind them using borrowed art. It's just that, like, the more stuff you're using that's borrowed is the less you're doing that's new.
Yeah, but for me, it's not that big. I mean, for me, I feel like if they need to, they will. And, I mean, they have plenty of artists there. I don't think that should be that big of a problem, making that tiny of a portrait, you know, for however many cards. I'm excited to see it, though. I think everything I've seen so far art-wise has been great for Journey to Umbro.
The Umbro art pieces look very unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dinosaurs actually look really awesome. They look cartoony. They've got the, you know, the Warcraft art style to them, which is not something that you see. It's very unique, right? The Warcraft cartoony style that they've built Hearthstone on. And the dinosaurs look like that more. If you look at Bloodfen Raptor, right, doesn't look very Hearthstone-y. King Crush does to an extent, but not like, it's still missing the extra push. And if you look at the trailer, these dinosaurs are just absolutely Hearthstone. Like, it's in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Okay, why don't we move on and talk about some of the news, especially today, where we have, I don't actually have it on this topic bar because it was pretty new, but we have Heroic Brawl that was released today. And so Heroic Brawl is just out again. It's before an expansion. I think it's kind of the same timing we had last time. So I guess a good way to try to get some gold back before having to buy packs or whatnot. Last time it was a success. Is there the same limitations? I mean, is there no limit on this again? I forget. I didn't get a chance to see the specifics of the Heroic Brawl this time around.
It looks like the same to me.
I haven't gotten to do it yet.
I haven't done it yet, but from what I've looked at and what I've heard, it's the exact same as it was last time. There was a mention a while back, which did not come to fruition, where they said they would make the next Tavern Brawl be a Heroic Brawl, a wild format, which some people loved the idea of. I'm a part of those, and some people did not. And they eventually reverted to the idea of just a standard brawl. So now we're back into the current metagame in a competitive format. And it turns out, the novelty factor isn't really there aside from the top level players. And some people pointed out, rightly so, the timing was, of course, before the expansion. So they want to leech all the gold out of the economy. So we trap ourselves into good having strategy. Nothing. And then we have to spend money to buy cards, which, you know, you can spin it that way as a narrative if you want to. But frankly, that is the type of brawl that would be nice if we got it more frequently. You know, just this type of competitive brawl, if not, replacing the regular brawl, I think, is a bit of a pain for some of the more casual players, but it would be nice to have the option to play a similar game mode, not at all times, but, you know, frequently enough.
I'm okay for it to be just consistently, you know, on the same you know, just the same periodic, you know, whether it's like right before another expansion every single time or whatnot, as long as we know and it's not just like completely random, I think it's right. Nice to look forward to it. You can plan around it, like if you're a streamer or whatever, you can get your stream ready for it. But I do hope that they put a limit on it, because that was the thing that was, you know, we talked about last time, that it was just on the show last time it was around, and I ended up initially thinking, man, I wish they could have just done it more, and then they ended up changing it right after the 5. But then in the end, I felt like there should be a limit, and maybe the limit's 10, but I felt like it was cool to have, you know, like people feel like every single run was just, you know, very, very, there's a sense of urgency, you know, for every single one of those, because there's a cap on it.
But
it's like 100.
It's so big,
it's
you'll
like
never
ridiculous.
Get there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't count. I mean, I think it should be like maybe 8 or something like that. But 5 was too low. I agree, 5 was too low, because people would finish it in like a day. But I think 10 is fine, you know, and it kind of gives the whole community a chance, too, to get some spotlight, too. So, because, you know, all the big streamers will get all the views on the first day. And then maybe if some people wait to do their runs after those guys are done. And then, so, you know what I mean? You have different streams that are kind of highlighted throughout the week. And it would help the general community overall if they did something like that. Otherwise, right now, I remember after they made it to 100, everybody was just doing it over and over and then just kind of lost its appeal very, very quickly.
Yeah, without seeing, like, the Blizzard side of things, like, I don't know how much money they make more when it's unlimited or what have you. Like, I'm not exactly sure. Noxus seems to think it's a lot, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much more it is. But I think that having it before an expansion, as people like to critique it, like Noxus said and paint the narrative that it's a gold dump, I would challenge that thinking with when do you want them to release it? After
right.
the set? It's
exactly.
still going to take money for you to spend all your gold on the set.
Yeah.
So it's like, when do you really want them to release it? Oh, do you want them to release it then, like in the middle, in between sets? And it's like, okay, well, that's when you don't have any gold, really. Like, you still have a little amount of gold because you just started saving up and you've been buying packs the whole time. Like, the way it works is, the reality is you're probably, this type of expense would probably always be, like, quite a big deal, I guess, in terms of a gold sink, no matter when you released it. But to your point, Chan Man, about limiting runs, they could limit the runs to, let's say, 10, and then they could even maybe publish who had the best average over 10 runs.
Exactly. That's nice, too.
And they can do stuff like that and engage the community in, I'd like to say, more meaningful ways with this game mode. So
I mean, but that's just, you know, they could do that post, and that would probably be fine. But I'm just talking about even live and just even from the standpoint of streamers or just whoever, right? Like, it just lost its nuance so quickly last time, because people would just, you know, people that have a ton of gold, they just keep going. Like, they're streamers and they just keep going. And you just saw the viewer counts even for those streamers just kind of go down, 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 because people, it just became, oh, they're just like playing Arena. You know, it's like they're just laddering. It's just, oh no, they're spending 1,000 to enter in this brawl. It just lost that appeal. And I think it loses it because there's just essentially unlimited mounts that you can do. You know, like when I watched Tyler the first time around, I was like, oh man, Tyler got to 11. Oh my gosh. Right. And then he like did it again and got to 12. And then he was like done. You know, maybe he got a couple of them to 12 and he was done. And then, you know, it was pretty epic. And then all of a sudden they released it the, you know, day after. And then he was just like doing it over and over and over again. And then he was, you know, back to his normal view count. And yeah, that was lame. You know, that kind of sucked. And I know they can make more money off it, but I just feel, you know, there's more to be gained than just the dollar amounts there. Like, you can actually
put it this way, right? Like, the guy who compulsively buys arena runs at $2 a pop because he never has gold.
Yeah.
That guy's the same guy who's going to enter this tournament with whatever deck he's got on hand and pay the full money price as opposed to the gold, because there's a potential massive reward.
I'm just
not sure. Like I said, I have to see the numbers from Blizzard, but I
sure
think
we
that,
have to. But I can infer it from other games. And
as far as your point, Shane, man, someone like Tyler could play on all three servers, so he can play 30 times, 15 times, anyways. And like limiting it to 5, I really don't feel like it increases the novelty without engaging it in a different way. Because I feel like it's just more of a thing where, like, when Tavern Brawl first came out, this was the first time we got to see people do this type of thing ever. Period. Really. So it was just extremely exciting. I feel like even if they had limited it and they brought it back this time, it would still have lost like a big portion of its novelty.
Oh, you think
even
so?
If it had been like a limited number.
I mean, what it was cool about the first time around with the 5 is that there are some big streamers that are good players that didn't even get 12. And then there was these other people that did get 12 that are a little bit less notable that got some attention because of it. I mean, shit, I got 12 wins, right? And I got a little bit more attention too just because of that. And I think once they did Unlimited, everybody was getting 12 wins at that point. And it was just like no big deal. You know, getting 12 wins should have been, you know, like something that was lauded, you know, because you know, whether it was luck or whether it was, you know, just literally because you're just so good or whatever. I mean, it would have been fun to be able to put a list of the 12, you know, the 12 win winners and not have it be like, you know, 5,000 people or 1,000 people or something like that. Because when I got it, I was like, oh man, that was so cool. I got it, you know, after the second or third run, but then I was just like, oh, it's not that big a deal anymore. Cause literally everybody has gotten it now at this point. So, you know, it's just like that thread that we see at number one. Why is that thread even number one right now, guys? That thread's number one because we want to see who gets to 12, like first, or who are the first 5 people that get 12, you know, that sort of thing. And
we get 12 the most, I think. Like, well, honestly, anybody who gets 10 plus. Sure.
I think the average is a good.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the sociology
is the thing. That's,
yeah, I think if you want to start getting to like the sociology behind it, like you can go pretty deep and you can go for a long time. Like you want to talk about 12 wins. Well, if I limit to 5 wins all of a sudden, or 5 runs, all of a sudden maybe people are playing more competitive decks throughout all the runs. And then, you know, maybe your average, or you don't even get a 12 run because you're playing against more competitive opponents because they're playing better decks. Whereas if you have unlimited runs, then maybe people branch out and they play different decks or what have you, which would, you know, make it easier to get 12 wins if you were trying to be super competitive. Yeah. Also, another factor that could go into like the sociology behind it would be like, if you limit it to 5 runs, then people run out of runs and then you can get 12 wins. So then you feel good because you got 12 wins, but you weren't really going up against like the top of the top.
Yeah, there's exactly. A little bit of gaming involved. I understand that. It's more me putting my event org, you know, cap on and just wanting, you know, funner, just more epic things around the community instead of just, you know, a general, you know, statistical type of thing.
Yeah, I'm putting a bit of a negative Nancy here, but you can just compare it to Arena. Like when people played Arena back in the day, they were pumped to get 12 wins, but now we're just like,
whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I still think Arena's, like, honestly, I believe that Arena is just the better format right now in Hearthstone. To me, it just feels much, much better than Constructed across the board. And I'm like, for all the repetitiveness of Arena, when you look at someone, you say, oh, they've gotten 12 wins a billion times, this is nothing new. I still think since you can actually get an average, right, result on Arena, and you can't really get it in Constructed in the current Heroic Brawl format, it's easier to infer somebody's skill level from the data that we get from Arena than it is from the Heroic Brawl. I think there's not enough, I guess you said, engagement on the community side. I would really like a leaderboard at the end of one. Like, are they planning to release another Heroic Brawl with leaderboards? Maybe a month-long Heroic Brawl being opened up? Like, I don't know. Like,
I think it's more we just have to request it. I mean, they have all the stats, and I think they could if they felt like we were interested in it, so. With the Arena, you know, that's kind of one of the things I'm going to be talking about in a second, is that I've decided to finally, you know, get a chance to try and play Arena some, because I've been saying that for the longest time. It's like, I want to play Arena some, I just never have time. And so I decided to really give it a go and try to get better at Arena, because I'm terrible at Arena. Like, Constructed allows me to like get away with probably a lot of misplays that I do, and I feel like Arena doesn't. So I decided that, you know, I'd probably do that on my stream or whatever, but we'll talk about that more in a second though. But overall, yeah, Heroic Brawl, it's going to be fun. You know, we'll see if it's cool tomorrow, you know, after it's over, after the initial hype is over. But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to do, I'll at least do it one time. I don't know if I'll do it multiple times or not. But I don't even know what deck I would play. It looks like I'm looking at this, thread that's at the top, which part of me is like, okay, these threads are cool, but part of me are like, gosh, I wish they wouldn't show these threads because it's just like, you know, total net decking. I mean, people are just going to totally net deck these things. And let's see. Yeah, so I mean, it looks like Firebat did it with Jade Druid. It looks like a Dog did it with Questing Miracle Rogue. So we're seeing some across the board. Who else? Another 12 here. Sidonia did it with Aggro Pirate Warrior. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean Tyler went 0-3 with Aggro Pirate, right?
Like, yeah,
just compute that for a second.
It's like
the variance on those decks is so massive. It's like when somebody goes 12-0 with Jade Druid, you're like, did you draw Wild Growth every game? Yep, okay. Yep. That's true. All right.
I like how Sidonia, I think he tweeted,
I mean,
I went 12-2, I drew patches twice.
Like, okay.
That's a little bit disingenuous.
I know.
Of course it is. I'm just being facetious at this point. It's just one of those things where these players, the guys that get 12 wins are just very solid across the board.
I mean, if you queue up Pirate Warrior and you 0-3 and you're a good player, like, it's you had to get bad matchups and you had to get unlucky, like,
yeah,
because the Pirate Warrior is such a strong deck in the meta right now. But
I mean, winning 12, it's, you know, you do have to be on a little bit of a, you know, higher end of the you know, statistical matchups and everything. So that's kind of what it's all about. You know, this heroic brawl is, it has a lot to, you know, obviously if you're a better player, you're going to give yourself a better chance of being able to get that 12 out of, you know, 15 streak. But you can just run hot, I guess is all I'm trying to say, you know, and pull it off. It's cool. It doesn't have to be like, doesn't have to be a reflection of like pure skill. You know, it's like, that's not what the point of this thing is anyway. Okay, anyways, that's the Heroic Brawl. Why don't we talk about Global Games, since that was that's a today thing too, right? I mean, they announced it today too, and mm-hmm. Let me show you the website too. You can vote for your favorite player or the player that you want to represent your country. I'll word it like that, since it might not necessarily right. be. We don't necessarily want it to be just a popular contest, or some people don't want it to be. But yeah, so you can go here, and basically the way they have it split up is that you can go by region here, and under each region, you actually have countries that you can go to. The interface is pretty good. It's just you really don't get a sense for how many countries are actually there.
The country part, crazy. I think, is done very poorly.
You think so?
I don't think it's very obvious to even know to click on that to scroll.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah, okay, I get it. It's right there. And like, you just clicked on it and it's so easy. Chanman just did it. But
I did it.
Chanman just did it. Yeah.
No, I think
it could be more intuitive.
It could have been just top level. They could have shown
it. It's not even very obvious that that's where you click to change it, honestly. When you're looking at a full screen, like right now, you have a portion of your screen capped. But if you're looking at a full web page, it kind of blends in almost even. I think that would have been better on the side or bigger or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
There's nine people per country, right? Unless some of them have less, but I think it's nine per country.
Nine per country.
And you get to vote to like for the person that you want to represent your country.
You get to vote on one person, which I wish you could have voted on more, just personally. I know some people are like, no, I think it's better. Like, you guys in particular, I think you guys think that the popular people will get even more votes because of that reason. But I don't know. For me, it's just like, if three people represent, you know, I'd like to get to choose the three that I would like to have represented. But anyways, each of these pictures have funny descriptions from each of the players, and they have some vastly different quotes. I play to win. Some of them take it really, really serious, and some of them are like this. I hate pirates, but I like winning. So
I hate pirates, but I hate winning. Okay, sure.
No, I like winning. I hate pirates, but I like winning from pirates.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Not everybody's trying. The thing is, there's not much promo work that's done, right? Because this is the first time we hear about the event, right? The whole Global Games. That's the first most people hear about it. And they're told if you go vote, you get a card pack.
Yeah.
I think. So people go there for the card pack. They have no vested interest in following exactly what these people have done. Most of the player base. I'm not talking about the competitive scene and the podcasters and everything. Oh, there's a child in the background. I heard that. So, yeah, most of the people who are invested in the scene kind of know the names that they see pop up, but a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. And if that's the first exposure you have to these guys and you've not been told or offered anywhere to get hyped about it, then I think the promotion kind of fails, right? Like, for instance, somebody for, you know, Canada, like most of the names on this list we know, but some of them are lesser known, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody like Teebs, someone like Monsanto, perhaps, that not everybody knows. Most of the competitive scene know him, but not everybody does. And so if he had been given a warning that say, hey, this is going to happen, you're going to be on the list, maybe they have time to make videos. Maybe they have time. Maybe there can be some,
yeah, I agree,
you know, people fighting for Reddit exposure just to get some attention, to get people on their side. Because as it stands,
it's possible.
It is a popularity contest, but it's starting very uneven right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we discussed this prior. I kind of already voiced my opinion. Like, I love the global games. It's a great idea. As usual, I feel like the execution was leaving rushed. Much to be desired and very rushed.
Yeah.
I feel like you couldn't. The players were notified that they were up for selection. Then they were notified that they were selected. And then they were told that it would be posted, but they weren't really given the exact date that it would be posted. And even if they had been given the exact date that had been posted, campaigning before people get to kind of get to see the interface is a little less effective. So I definitely would have liked to see the people you could vote for being posted, and then a time period where those people can try to reach the public and get them to vote for them, instead of just, hey, come vote right now and get your pack. And then you go to the website and you're like, who do I know? Oh, dog, I like that guy.
That's pretty much what it, yeah. Damn. I feel like a lot of votes were probably that way today. And they had an opportunity to do exactly what you said, both of you guys, just campaigning, doing more of like what the Smash community has done, which has been, with the summit and everything. It's just some of those events where they literally allow the contestants, or not contestants, but the nominees.
The contestants, let's call them that. Yeah,
let's just say nominees. Sure. They allow the nominees to make videos and to do these silly things. Like, some of them did the silliest things, and you know, like crazy, I don't think they did eating contests, but things along those lines, and they were able to get the community just A, entertained, and B, they were able to campaign and get votes, and that could potentially have happened here too.
It doesn't just promote them either getting in, it promotes your event. Like, if I do something crazy and I end up getting in, people are like, dang, and then they watch the event.
Dang.
It's just like, I don't know, this seems like such a horrible way to do it this way. And the best part is, it hasn't come yet, but I bet people are going to be like, I voted, and I still haven't got my pack yet.
So true. Give it 2 days.
Is China not on here?
I think it's in the Asia portion, isn't it? Unless they took it out.
Taiwan, and there's Hong Kong.
They probably have NetEase probably handles it themselves, like everything else.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not sure if it's there or not. But
maybe they are. So the event is going to be, I mean, I'm sure the event's going to be fun and great. It's just, right now, it'd be even nice if you could unvote, but I don't know. Maybe they have this tally, this vote tally that just keeps going. But once you vote once, this is just PSA. Like, once you vote, it's locked in. You can't change it. It's kind of like what happened for HCT, the World Championship, the BlizzCon thing too. Once you pick your champion, you can't unpick that person and switch. Like, somebody convinces you otherwise, you can't change it. So make sure you know exactly who you want to be on your team before you lock it in. But okay, I think three of these guys, right? Three of these guys get to be on the team with the anchor or the captain, whatever you want to call it. And so
he's not the captain. They made that very clear.
Yeah, anchor.
It's anchor. Not a captain because it's not a team game.
Well, they're going to have a captain on the team, but it is not the anchor necessarily.
Yeah,
Blizzard's like been really important. They want people to know that.
Yeah, which is that's true. It's true.
Which matters a lot.
It doesn't. I guess it matters a lot. And for those of you
being the captain instead of just being someone who's on the team is definitely a difference, I think.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Like, it actually changes the dynamic within the group depending on who they select. There's oftentimes a person who you'd rather have as a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are just more naturally inclined to take that role on.
Oh, so there will be a captain too, is what you're saying.
There will be afterwards.
There is a captain.
Just not it's not selected on the basis of whether he was or wasn't the anchor.
Yeah.
It might end up that people default to anchors become captains, but that's not what they have to do.
Well, I mean, just to clarify for folks too that don't remember, the anchor was selected based on HCT points. So these were determined by that. These weren't determined by Blizzard or a popularity vote. So it makes sense. It makes sense that it wouldn't be selected. A captain should be selected by the members anyways. So yeah, sure. It makes sense. Okay, well, anyways, hopefully it's going to end up being a great event. When is it, by the way? It's what's the date on this thing? They haven't told us, right?
You tell me.
Yeah, they haven't told us yet. I don't think they've announced the date.
I haven't seen any info about the dates. All I know is you have to vote for people.
Yeah.
It just came up today, so.
Probably, I would guess like May or something like that. Maybe early summer. That could be about.
Well, there are prelims in May. Well, we don't know exactly when yet. But they're middle of May.
Yeah.
I'll tell you 2 weeks beforehand.
Okay, good stuff.
If that.
All right, let's see. Another thing that happened in the community was Ben Brode, after being criticized for, or at least the team being criticized for not having a musical track, and it was more trolly than anything else.
It wasn't a very big criticism.
Yeah, it was more trolly legit than anything criticism. Else. Yeah. They were saying, Ben, you should make a music track for us or whatever. So much to everyone's surprise, Ben went home that night, or I don't know when, maybe a couple nights, and he ended up recording this rap video, which we all know at this point, because this rap video went crazy viral on Reddit as well as just everywhere. And I mean, look at this Reddit thread. It's got 40. It's 83%. So it's got like about almost, it's like 50,000 upvotes. Okay, on this thing. So
yeah, it was top of front page. Yep. It did a lot.
It was an RL, like. It was, it was on, I think, our Hearthstone for like 2 days. that's how much momentum it had. But that's great. I think it was unforeseen. I think Ben yesterday or the day before when he was on Streamer Showdown, he mentioned that, he was just jokingly made it and was presented to the team. The team was like, release it, dude. He's like, really?
Well, it's funny because the day prior, I was speaking to him on Facebook. I asked him, Ben Bro, people have spoken, they want the video. And he told me, don't tell anyone yet. But tomorrow, I'm breaking the internet. And I'm like, oh my God, is this really happening? I had no idea they would actually release it. And I just freaked out.
That was cool.
I was like, okay. But like, I thought he would go for like a more, not rap. I expected some kind of musical. Right, he's got the voice to pull it off.
Have you seen his other rap videos?
Yeah,
no. I have. Should I?
They're like on his Facebook or something like that, okay. Right?
Yeah. But how fantastic!
Anyways,
I'm a little disappointed by the backstory now. I was really hoping it was more like Ben Brode came home, he was scrolling through Reddit. And
like, well, maybe maybe he did that. I didn't get that part of the story.
And then he got the like,
he made it. Yeah.
And then he just went and grabbed, some wine, poured himself a glass, and just whipped out a notebook. And then it's really good. The rap is good.
I mean, he might have done that. I mean, all I'm telling you is that he recorded it, and then he brought it to the team just thinking that they would get a good laugh out of it. And then they said to release
it. That's the part where he brings it to the team. Because in the video, he's like, oh, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah.
Like, but he makes it seem like he was doing it all secretively. Now that I hear the backstory, it's a little...
But it wasn't a secret at first, right? Like he made the video without anybody knowing about it. But then it became a matter of.
I mean, come on, you can't.
Is PR lady okay with this? I should probably check.
Lindsay, I'm sure.
the video is very good.
It
the
is
remixes
very good.
Are also very good. What was your guys' favorite remix?
There's a Chinese one that came up that I posted on Twitter. That one spent so much effort.
Oh my God, there were so many remixes. I don't even have a favorite, to be honest, but there were like 50 remixes, literally the days afterward. There was, half of the subreddit was remixes. There was one that was, there was one that was dubbed over another song that was so
Gorillaz
right
at the
on.
Beginning,
it
or?
Was like so right on, like a very popular song. Like a, I can't remember what it was.
The first one that came out that I saw on the Reddit was Black and Yellow. But it was Khalifa. It was
I saw that one. That was good.
And I was like, this is pretty solid. But then I played it.
That's true.
I played it. And then on my girlfriend, she said to me, his voice would be really good over Feel Good Incorporated by the Gorillaz. And then the next day,
somebody did that.
And then someone did it.
Yeah.
And it was really good. And he kind of had that rap style, the Gorillaz.
Actually, I think it was that one. I think it was that one. I think it was the Feel Good Incorporated one. That was
where he laughs at the beginning as the Ben Brode laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it goes into the Gorillaz song. Yeah, the rap style is very Gorillaz-ish too. I wouldn't be surprised if like Ben himself is a fan. And
kind of mimics. No, he's into music, man. Like Ben's really, really into music, and that was really cool. I think it was hugely successful for, you know, just promoting the expansion. And I don't know, this is the kind of thing that we just need, you know, as a community, just more fun things coming out from Ben.
It's not even like people need to acknowledge after this, like Ben Brode is not the reason Hearthstone is the game that it is right now. Like Ben Brode just took, we talked about this on the last show, right? But Ben Brode just got control or the reins of the direction of the game, right? And there was so much hate just flowing in his direction for a while on Reddit. It was absurd. And when you see stuff like that come out, you have, like, you must to a certain extent acknowledge that this guy surely has nothing but the best intentions for the game. Like, this is such a,
well,
such a random, dude, like, how many, okay, imagine that, right? Riot Games, like,
here we go.
Gabe has to do that tomorrow for Steam, right? Gabe has to do that. Valve just has to come out with a rap. Does he do it? Of course not. He could have just said, fuck this. I'm Gabe. Reddit thread. No. Ben Brode says, how is this so highly upvoted? I guess I'm doing a rap video. Like, that's just the train of thought that went with it. You just can't help but love the guy.
I mean, he was on Schroeder Showdown this week with us, you know, just being silly and funny. And Crip gave him, give him a hard time too. Savage, yeah. I mean, and you know, he was able to take it in, you know, just in stride and have a good time with it. So I think, you know, lately, to your point, Noxious, the last, you know, couple months, they've all been more accessible. You know, Ben's been more accessible. Mike, you know, you're seeing Mike like on interviews and Dean on interviews and everybody, just Peter on everywhere right now. And what Yongwoo, you know, yesterday with even the Angry Chicken. So we're seeing them out there a lot more. Maybe it's just because it's right before an expansion. I don't know. But it's good to see. It's just good for the community. Now, of course, they need to do stuff and not just, you know, be places and say stuff. But it's still something that's necessary.
It's super important. It's not like Noxious said, other people wouldn't have done this. Like, they, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I don't know who Gabe Velvet is, but, you know, Riot Games, just, you wouldn't have seen this. Yeah. And to even go less within the realm of gaming, it take, for example, like, let's say President Obama even. Like he did a lot of stuff like this where he went and then they took pictures and stuff. And even though he's a busy person and you're like, well, he's busy, you should be doing other stuff. Like, it does a lot for morale within the community and people in general to see somebody who, you know, is supposed to be busy and is supposed to be at the top, just enjoying themselves and doing something.
Yeah.
That's
showing up on, you know, Fallon, so fun, or something like
exactly.
that. Right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like showing up on a talk show or something, mm-hmm. that does a lot for the morale, more so than even like saying, like writing a speech and giving it, you know, even no matter what the words are, something like that has an effect that you can't reach just by, you know, speaking logically or something.
Yeah. So I think it's been positive for the team, for sure, for Team 5, mm-hmm. and just the, you know, just community's relationship with the team. So hopefully they keep at it. And I mean, again, like, you know, it was really appreciative of the team for us being able to have him on Streamer Showdown. That was a lot of fun. Okay, I think that's it for the news for this week. Why don't we talk about, maybe just get into some decks. It's been a while since we actually talked about decks on the show, so I figured we'd talk at least about one deck that I know the Rat's familiar with, and Duane actually brought it to me maybe late last week, and said, like, yeah, this deck that I've been doing well with, and Finja has been a big topic for the last few weeks now, just in terms of that it was good and people were running it towards the end of the season. And, you know, I've definitely had some experience with it in the past, but I hadn't run it in a while. So this was, you know, this rogue deck was a little bit newer for me, given that I had Curator. We're back. Should be back now. Let's just make sure we are. But continuing on, why don't I describe the deck real quick? It's got your, you know, backstabs. It's got one Shadow Step. It's got a Corsair just to help with the patches. A couple Cold Bloods, a couple Swashburglars and Ooze. The two Bluegills, a Dirty Rat, two Eviscerates, two Horse Riders, a Bran, Van Cleef, a War Leader, a Shaku, SI Agent, Defender of Argus, Azure Drake, Finja, and Leroy Curator to finish things off. So this deck, I was just playing it and I was thinking, okay, it's going to be just your typical tempo, just face, you know, just that sort of strategy. And generally speaking, it is, but there's actually some versatility to this deck that I didn't actually realize was there against, you know, some of the slower decks, or, and the way you play against the faster decks, the way you play against the slower decks, it's quite different. And, you know, Rad, I'm sure you're familiar with like this with all kinds of other decks. But yeah, I think this deck is actually super interesting, and it's been very, very effective when I've played it. What do you think about this deck?
Yeah, so I call it Menagerie Rogue.
Yeah, that's what I think most people call it, right?
Yeah, that was the official term I was using. The deck list was, the deck type was originally a player named Quattro got to rank one legend, and then Dwayne played it also to rank one legend on any server and finished with it. But that was during the last season, which obviously sported the Buccaneers, the small-time Buccaneers. So you had to adjust the deck list a little bit. The one that you have here is with the Dirty Rat and stuff is a little bit different than what I think most people run now. I think most people have gone a little bit more aggro. You also see people from this idea went and are playing Stealth Rogue with like the Sensei.
The Sensei guy.
Oh, yeah, buffs. I like that dude. Oh, he's awesome.
I do. I like him. I like him too.
He's my favorite.
And I tried that deck out with Silent Knights. I played like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The two other deck lists like quite a bit. I haven't put this particular list.
Is it as good as this deck though? Because I didn't have nearly as much success with that one as I did.
I don't think the stealth list is as good as the Menagerie Rogue.
Okay. Cool.
But I don't know this list in particular how everything works together. It's quite risky playing Bran in this list. I don't think it gets a lot of value. You see people cutting Bran in deck lists where they can make a lot more out of it than in this list in particular. And the Dirty Ren. There's definitely some weird choices here. But to your point that the deck has a lot of versatility, there's been a lot of decks throughout Hearthstone's history that have versatility in this kind of way, but they are kind of rare, and they don't always make it so obvious that you have choices as this one does, I think. Cards that help that are cards like Shadow Step, for instance, is a pretty... high, it sounds dumb, but it's a pretty high skill cap card.
No, it's very it can be used in many, many places, right?
Exactly, like, exactly.
SIs,
it's not just as simple as Leroy-ing them twice, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Use them with Dirty Red, Bluegill Warrior, Swashburglar if you're in need of a desperate Hail Mary. Like, there's so much that goes into this type. Actually, I want to say something about this deck in terms of deck building. This type of deck requires so much more from a deck builder than some of the decks that we've seen crop up and that were even, I'd say, dominant for the last metagame. This is probably the most creative deck we've seen in a long time. Like, this is undoubtedly one of the most unique lists I've ever seen.
It's one of those decks where you have to play a ton of games and you're just, like, tweaking the little things. Like, you know, somebody that, you know, Quattro or Duena, whoever, I mean, they can tell you exactly why there's one Shadow Step in here, you know, like... exactly why, you know, and the different scenarios where it would just up your winning percentage by like, you know, a couple percent or something.
It's good.
to
how much it's actually refined. I'm not so sure, but to the point where I'd love to say something like, I don't know, I thought the meta was solved and there were no brand new decks that were going to come out. Oh, what? It came out the last week of the patch that we were playing on. You know, like maybe things weren't so figured out. But the Shadow Step is very interesting because, you know, even if it's not right or if it is right, and I think it the one Shadow Step would most likely because of the utility, you don't want two, but you have so many options in the deck to Shadow Step that it's probably worth it. But the interesting thing is that when other people know you're playing Shadow Step and you have so many ways to use it, they have to play around a wider range of scenarios. Mm-hmm. And other cards that you could add to the deck wouldn't enable that type of fear in your opponents. Like, they wouldn't have to worry about getting Leroy twice or getting Dirty Ratted twice or even, like, an ooze that gets bounced back so you can ooze another Arcanine Reaper.
Have we just forgotten how powerful Shadow Step is?
No, I think the Shadow Caster just... The hype of Shadowcaster back when it came out, now we're talking like two expansions ago, brought back Shadow Step to the forefront. I think during that period, we had like a resurgence of people trying out Shadow Step shenanigans. And then people tried it again with the Jade stuff. Shadow Step came back and they tried it and they tried it. It just keeps coming back all the time. The issue is that when your deck is literally Gaddis and Auctioneer plus support cards, it's most of the time not right. And that's what we've been running with for the longest time in Rogue. It's like, here's this core combo I want to get off. here's this line of play that I'm always going to be using: Tomb Pillager, Coin, Gadgets, and Shenanigans. It's really straightforward in terms of what your core cards are. And as soon as you stray away from that package and you say, let's explore other avenues, suddenly Shadow Step becomes like it's on the list of to watch cards. And I don't think people forget about it as much as it didn't really fit existing rogue decks that we assumed were the quote unquote only rogue decks.
I mean, it's a powerful card. Like, to your point, it just hasn't worked with the powerful archetype.
Most cheap spells in general are good because they allow you a lot of options and versatility in your play style. We see that throughout a lot of different classes that sport zero mana cards. I mean, Shadow Step's definitely a good card. This list definitely can take advantage of it in the most. Like Nox just said, the other rogue list didn't, but even further to that point, it's when you run Shadow Step and you run all these situational cards like you are in this list, usually you just get ran over. But when the meta slows down, you get a little bit more option to do, you know, this type of thing. Or if, you know, the power level of even the straightforward decks isn't high enough, then you also get more options.
I mean, this deck,
as to whether we'll see this deck in like the next tournaments that we see, though, I think it's left to be decided.
Yeah.
I mean, this deck's pretty fast, too. I mean, it's not obviously Pirate Warrior fast or whatever Aggro Shaman was, but it's not slow by any means.
I mean, okay, wait, it's fast when you play it against a slow deck because it feels fast against those decks, right? Sure.
It's faster when you draw Fyndra.
Yeah,
right.
It's very fast when you draw Fyndra. That's true. You know, I've had the sickest play. Dude, I've had plays where you're playing against control and you brand Swashburglar, Shadow Stuff, Swashburglar. I mean, and you end up getting like a crap load of cards and stuff. It's so cool, man. I highly recommend it for people.
I took a screenshot yesterday where I swashed into a Herald Village from Greece, and then I Fynja'd and attacked, and then I copied the board with the Herald,
then
he sent me a message, and it was in a tournament. He sent me a message. He goes, "Well, I'm not going to beat that," and I thought it was just hilarious. And then three rounds later, a guy did it to me exactly the same way.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I was just like, I was streaming too, and I was like,
Meta.
You know, I have words of advice from my opponent from 3 hours ago.
You cut and paste that. You should just cut and paste it. Quote.
This is so good.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. But anyways, go give it a try, guys. It's a lot of fun. And
Fynja is good. That's the point. Fynja is good.
Yeah, Fynja is good. But there's a lot. I mean, Shaku's in there too. I mean, there's a lot of just fun cards.
If there's not a Fynja nerf within the next half year, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, you think so? Okay. I mean, it'll definitely restrict them design-wise for Murlocs, otherwise, in my opinion.
I don't know if I'll be surprised if there's not a nerf, but I really feel there should be a nerf.
It's good.
The card's just very good. It's like Menagerie Warden, except it's like patches on crack, if you want to look at it that way, when you get to the mid-game portions, because it's not a 1-1 you're bringing out.
I mean, this is kind of stupid, Kets, but when I have Shaku and I have Fynja on the board, I get screwed up sometimes because one of them you have to kill something and one of them you just have to attack, right? So be careful of that. That's just one little one that play this deck.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Ryan?
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I don't know if Buccaneer was holding in check before. We just didn't realize. And it's not that we didn't realize. Like, I told people that Fynja was good. Like, someone, I can't remember who it was like, should I craft Fynja? I want to play the Murloc Paladin deck, but I don't know if it's worth it. And I said, man, listen, if Fynja is not good at some point while it's in standard, I'll be very surprised because the card is a high power level. And now we're seeing just how high it is. And the reality is it offers very little counterplay. To play Kodo against it is to run Kodo in your deck just to kill this card. And obviously Kodo kills other cards. It's a lot to ask. And I mean, maybe that's why they released Streetwise Investigator.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's also ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. If you had to play Streetwise Investigator, that would be insane.
Like, and I don't know how you would change it. Maybe you would make it have to kill an undamaged minion, I think is a possibility. But I think something to note is, like, Patron, it's a 3-3, and you can play around it by just not playing minions. Like, if I just play Patron on turn 5, I don't duplicate it or replicate the Patron. You just like, I'm not going to play my Acolyte of Pain. And we saw that in that format, and it allows some counterplay. But with the Finja and a list like this, you're like, well, am I not going to play my Draconid operative because he has a Finja on the board? Like, no, because he's going to put more stuff on the board and then I'm going
to
end up losing.
It would have to survive, right? That's the thing. Because, like, Finja does not have to survive is the point when he kills something. So
surviving,
they have more damage to smash into your 6-health minion. They can trade Finja in, and there's a good chance he lives. At the end of the day, he might just somehow survive because they bring out 2 War Leaders and it busts his health up to 6 and he lives through the operative. It's just one of those cases where the card is super good, but it wasn't, there was like no good timing for it in the meta that we had prior. But I'm honestly pretty happy, you know, to see the card come up. I just want to observe after Un'Goro comes out, is that card oppressive? Because it definitely could be, right? It definitely has all the potential in the world to be one of these. Oh, he played Finja, couldn't do anything, lose the game. You know, it's one of those.
I just think it already is.
At least there is some kind of situational aspect that, like, associated with it. Can you imagine if it was just attack?
It's not situational, man.
I mean, like, he has to at least kill something. I mean, like, can you imagine if he didn't kill anything? Oh, like, my gosh, Shaku
thing.
Style. Like,
here's
it'd be crazy.
Like, I wanted to talk about Finja with other people when it came out, and people dismiss it.
Dude, purple, I can tell you right now, Purple has always talked about Finja.
I'm not a super creative person when it comes to building decks, but I like to like look at some ideas. And you talk about Finja, and you're like, okay, well, what Murlocs are you going to run? Well, I'm going to run Bluegill, Charger guy. What? That card's terrible. Well, I'm going to have to run War Leaders too. Oh, you're going to run a 3-3 that does nothing?
That's how people react to you.
And then you're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not even going to try it.
No. But that's a terrible attitude. Yeah. See, I hate that. Oh, gosh.
But I don't have time to try that kind of stuff.
I know, but
the reality is 4 Murlocs isn't a big downside at all.
That's true.
Including your deck.
Totally agree with that. Yeah.
They're not 1/1s, is the point. Worst case scenario, they're 2 mana, 2 damage as removal. It's kind of like playing Wolf Riders for removal, which is kind of a big laughing.
It's like a Call of the Wild, like that's really early, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
You can compare it to the Mysterious Challenger, kind of, in the way that it takes the cards out of your deck, and you have to run those cards. But Murlocs aren't even as bad as Secrets.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, I don't know. I feel like the card just is. I don't know how often it wins when its effect is activated on turn 5. I mean, Blizzard has those stats,
it's ridiculous.
But I gotta believe
sure.
It's like, it's probably even about 66% or something the times it connects and wins the game. I mean, the board states are just insane that it creates for you just instantly once it connects. And it's just like, it doesn't allow much counterplay or
exactly.
anything. I really don't like the card.
I think it's design constraining too. Like, they can't come out with Murlocs that are buffing or anything like that, you know.
Well, if they did buff on Battlecry, it's fine.
Well, on Battlecry, but not like War Leader or anything to that capacity.
Well, I don't think they'll ever print another War Leader. I mean, frankly, like Coldlight Seer is the type of buff that they want to give Murlocs. I'm sure. We've got a dinosaur that adapts stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's all going to be Battlecry based. I think the aura, like the age of auras for Hearthstone, it's kind of a design issue they've run into in the past, and I don't think they'll bring it back, is my point.
Like, can you imagine
how
these
dangerous it is?
Can you imagine these adapt things on Finja?
Yeah, dude, like,
oh my god. It could
what
be
I would like
crazy,
to see
silly,
though is like,
dude.
Are they gonna use adapt they could use an aura fashion, you know, in a way you have the minion that gives the adapt choice
like
that you pick on him to everything else.
The spell the 2/5 that makes your guys.
Spellstopper. Exactly
spell
that.
Stopper.
That's what I was thinking.
Cards,
like, that's
right?
Essentially a type of adapt, you know, give adjacent minions whatever buff you pick.
Like in Karazhan when the beams.
Oh,
guy,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And they give your guy an effect. Yeah.
Oh, gosh,
that's the kind of stuff I'd love to see in some design, but I don't know how much they're going to push
placement
aura
matters.
Effects. They're really dangerous.
It'd be cool if they had those stompers or whatever, and it'd be like a puddle of water on the ground or on the board, and then the Murlocs that are in the puddle of water are the ones that are getting
taunt?
Buffed.
That's
so sick.
Yeah,
honestly, that's
sweet.
The kind of stuff that Blizzard does better than other card games by a wide margin and stuff like that. So I wouldn't mind seeing something like that with the puddle idea. That sounds cool.
I mean, they could
leaky dinosaur. Jason Murloc's stomp.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
All right. So we only had one deck this week, but we'll try to find some more. Whenever we have the show next week, but We do have some Mechatorp cards that we're going to be talking about in a second. But before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to all the folks on iTunes that listen to the show, and particularly the ones that leave us five-star reviews, because you guys are extra special and awesome. I want to give a shout-out to Disco Volante, Gross Butt Stuff, and then Smiley Face.
Wow,
Pete.
That happened. Hey, man,
he made me say it. That's enough to do five-star reviews, is to make me say your name, all right? But no, thanks so much for that, because it helps folks find Value Time whenever they're searching for Hearthstone podcasts on iTunes. So if you enjoy the show and you want to help out the show, you can do that. And speaking of people that support the show, Value Town is supported 100% by our Patreon, which is at patreon.com/valuetown. And we've got some amazing folks that are supporting us, keeping this show going, because, you know, without these folks, this show wouldn't happen. And, you know, so if you enjoy the show, you can come here and be one of these awesome folks too. We have got legendary producers, Mike T, Eric E, and a new one, Richard S, that have been supporting. So we've gotten some new producers recently, and then a few others. Give a shout out to Raydan, Davin P, Havoc, Cameron M, Eric Seed, Atomic Junkie, Old Man Riv, Austin L, and Lenny P. And you know what time it is, right, guys?
You know what time it is.
We still made it, man. We still are keeping that milestone. We still haven't quite gotten to Laughstone to evolve into Laughstone.
Wait, there's like a Laughstone.
There's a Laughstone.
There's levels to this.
It started as Smirkstone. It became a Cringestone. And then we made a Smilestone. And now we're going for Laughstone all the way.
We're going for Laughstone. And there's all these people every single week in the YouTube comments are like, oh my god, this part sucks. But there's always five more that say, oh my god, I love this part. So just so we can have 20 seconds at least of our week that we can smile about Hearthstone. Let's do it. 20 seconds. Here we go.
I'm always smiling about Hearthstone. Here we go. What are you trying to say, Shane, man?
Just for some of us. Not me included. I smile a lot about Hearthstone, too. Everybody in chat, smile, too. I can see you. We can see you through the computer.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's kind of... All right, that's 20 seconds. That went by quick. I think when we were talking, it goes by a little bit quicker.
You talk, dude.
Yeah, I know.
You get an edge.
Yeah, I get an edge. Okay, well, anyways, thanks so much, guys, for that. And
this is so great every time.
But yeah, so check that out, guys. We got rewards and milestones there. Again, patreon.com/valuetown. Okay. So let's go into Mechatorp's Workshop, which is our segment that we do where we come up with some custom cards, or at least a lot of our patrons and our viewers come up with some custom cards these days. We haven't had to do them because we have so many backlogged. So let's take a look at a few of these. Jack M., one of our patrons, is going to start us off here with Inspiring Tutor. This is a 3-mana, 2/3 legendary, and it's an Inspire card. Replace your hero power with a random basic hero power. So what do you guys think about
this?
Okay,
so just keep cycling through hero powers, right? Like it's like an infinite Finley. Oh, no, it's random. Sorry, you don't even get to discover. So you get to use it.
Yeah, you get to use it. Oh, I guess it's random. Yeah, that's true.
But you get to use it. You can use 5 hero powers a turn is what you're saying. So if you just keep getting a new one every time,
I don't think it would re.
Well, of course you could.
Refresh,
of course.
Yeah. Would
otherwise,
refresh?
This card is terrible.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're right.
First down,
okay.
It would refresh.
Yeah. Okay, you would refresh. Okay.
Otherwise, it would be horrible. Like you couldn't even use Inspired. All right.
Inspired, yeah. So
otherwise, it would be horrible. Otherwise, it'd be horrible, Chapman, because you wouldn't even be able to use it in Inspired.
No, you can use your first one, and then you have to wait till the next turn to use it again.
The metric that Nash uses to determine whether or not a card is viable is if he can play in his Inspired deck.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. God.
So what do you guys think of this? You know, if you got life tap, you know, and then you get to draw a card, and then you went into, I don't know, healing yourself back up. I have no idea exactly what the perfect sequence of hero powers would be.
This card just actually can't exist with Raza, and they can't coexist.
Raza's chained together, exactly, because it would give you...
Oh, that's true.
Because Raza works as an aura on your hero and not just on the specific hero power you've got. So this card would create an infinite loop with only two cards in the game.
True.
However,
that's true.
However, if they added a niche effect where it just, if it said inspire at the end of the turn, replace your hero, blah 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 blah. If it were to happen at the end of the turn, sure. But since it happens as soon as you inspire, then this card currently could not exist. I think it would have been great back in the days, like as a card to include in the set. Not good, but it would have been nice to have in the Inspire set, because then people can make memes happen more frequently. Unfortunately, right now, that type of card is just, they made Beardo, right? Beardo, the auction master. So they tried to make something like this with more control, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, solid from like you said, some memes. But as far as like what I like to see in my cards, I'm not a huge Sir Finley fan, honestly.
Yeah.
When you can take a class that isn't meant to have an aggressive hero power and give them aggressive hero power, it turns out that all of a sudden their cards that you overstatted to make up for it, like I don't know, Totem Golem, become a lot better when you're shooting your opponent with a bow every turn.
I like that.
Yeah, but at this, I mean, to your point, yes. But at the same time, I think the reason why they introduced it, released it, tried it, whatever you want to call it, is because the hero powers are a constraint, right now. Like hunters have to be a certain way because of the hero power.
Well, they don't have to. Like, but the thing is, when you make it a neutral card, it's like everybody can become anything else, whereas it'd be easier to control if you make hunters. Right.
Letting hunters take armor up isn't going to be better than letting the shamans you gave Totem Golem take hunter hero power. That's the problem. Like Finley inherently was a card that maybe they tested and they were like, switching hero powers isn't so bad. But in reality, if you look back and see how much it's dictated of like where the meta went, it had a pretty big effect like on what you saw. Like aggro shaman originally would have still been good, but it might not have been. Obviously, it's only one card, but
well, there's two hero
when
powers.
When you get it, though,
there's
the win rate, I'm sure, correlates upwards. Yeah. I'll say this, though. I think the idea of changing hero powers is good. I think changing hero power in a neutral card is risky. Like, I think that approach is it's a harder to balance than you'd ever think. It's the reason why you don't get to pick your hero power when you start a game. Mm-hmm. You go with Hunter, you get that hero power because the cards are balanced around it, right? Like, exactly. they've got a template in mind that you're supposed to follow. Like, they let you play Shadow Form. You get to play with that. You get to use Charge Hammer if you want phase damage, but there's a cost to it. When your cost is play a one drop as early as possible, that's competitively statted, and it gives you a new, new roll. That is insane, right?
Like, I think that's the difference between Finley and this card, right? This card's a little bit slower, so it's not like prone to that in general. So I think that it's a little bit more meme-ier, like Noxious said. And if you wanted to solve the problem with Inspire, they haven't done this yet, but you could limit the amount of times it could inspire per turn in theory. Like, they haven't to like introduce more keywords or like more like intricacies to cards, but they can avoid it for as long as they want. But I don't know how many years you can go without getting a little bit more complicated, like maybe like inspire parentheses two. Because you can only use it twice per turn or something.
Okay.
And then you can dodge Raja the Unchained and these types of things. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I dig it.
Yeah, I dig it too.
Before we move on to the next cards, I've added two to the list that I forgot to submit.
Okay.
So you will be forced into more work. Done.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
Why do you do this to me, Noxious?
Okay, the next one, let's see, we have is, let's see, who is this?
I like the art that was chosen for this card, I gotta say.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things the audio listeners don't get, but there's, like, we oftentimes on the show get submissions from many people, right? And sometimes the art is, they Google, they want a caterpillar, they Google caterpillar, they get a literal caterpillar and slap it on. Sometimes they try to find fantasy art that goes with it. And sometimes it's a little bit more fitting. And in this case, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It's definitely good. Warcraft lore. It looks like the name.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So like, it looks like Inspiring Tutor. It's a girl taking someone, putting her hand on his shoulder, And you don't know if she's scolding him and telling him, go, go, go. You know, you can totally do this. Or she's actually just forcing him like a taskmaster if you to go down. To work.
If you zoom down, she has a sword that's about to strike him down. Like, no, but they did a good job with it. I agree with that. Okay, the next one we have is from Brian P. And it's Exploding Intellect. It's a mage card, 5 mana. It's epic. Deal 1 damage to all enemies. Draw cards equal to the number of minions killed this way. All right. What do you guys think? This is like
Arcane. I like the concept. Yeah. I think this is unplayable, though. I like the concept, but I don't think it's good. Like the concept of it, of kill stuff, draw cards equal to kills, I think it's great, but I don't know if it's. It would be too good a 2, wouldn't it? It's better, Holy Nova, in some
all
aspects.
All enemies include to your opponent's face as well.
Yeah, it does go phase. You're right. It's just a, like it's a. It doesn't clear as well as Holy Nova, but the upside is so sick. The issue is, does mage like if this card were to come out, I think they would need to get more spell damage support in some fashion.
Talos is good. I mean,
it's not playable. Yeah, that's definitely. But the concept is good. Like the ability like and what it does.
Yeah. What about 4? F4.
No,
I still think at 4 it's too expensive. If you put it at 3 mana, it's like it's a worse Demon Wrath, but it still hits the spot where you can get some kills with it, I think, because you ping something on turn 2 and then you play mana. At 3 mana I think it is, because you ping turn 2 on a 3-2 and then you can play
you're probably gonna just
at 3 with Blood Mage Thalnos, that thing gets good. I don't know, man, like I think the card's really good at 3 mana, or at least playable at 3 mana.
I mean, if you really want to start discussing the merits of the card, like the best way is to like compare it to other cards, obviously to get like your base. So like if Arcane Intellect draws 2 cards already for 3 mana and that card is played, but the Arcane Intellect is played, but the card is not good, I promise.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, so you're saying 2 mana to do 1 damage.
But this clears the board, right?
So. Okay, so then you're like, well, this clears the board. It does do the face damage, but so then this like this clears the board. But like, okay, now you're saying that my opponent is playing minions that died of one damage on turn 3, and it's like, okay, well, what did I play on turn 2?
Volcanic potion, anyone?
Right. It's like, what did I play on turn 1? What did I play on turn 2 that made it so that the board was in a position that I'm gonna pick off minions with 1 health? And it's like. It's hard to really get an idea of what that would look like. Like, even pinging is, like, I don't know. A lot of people don't play 2 health minions even, like, anymore.
It's basically a Phantom Knives for mages that's overcosted right now. Like, yeah, it's currently at 5 mana, very, very costly Phantom Knives that sadly doesn't compete with Volcanic Potion. But
Phantom Knives is also a bad card.
Right, it's terrible, but that's the point. Like, you can have Maelstrom Portal in your game that immediately summons a thing from the nethers, and there had better be something you're digging for with Exploding Intellect, right? Like, there better be some kind of combo that does, like, something insane with this card.
What if you did, instead, you did missiles instead of exploding?
Still garbage.
If you did 3 missiles?
Not three. It'd have to be more than 3. It would have to be way more than 3. Like 6 or 7 or something like that.
If it did 6 missiles, it'd be insane at 3 mana. Yeah. If it drew you a card.
Yeah, at 3, yes. Yeah. But generally, the concept of missiles versus spread.
Yeah. I mean, okay, what if it 3 mana spread is not the worst. At 3 mana spread, draw for each one you kill.
If it hits only enemies at 3 mana, I played for the phase burn, and I'll take the cards when I do. Like, if they come up. At 3 mana deal 6, yeah. I'll take it just for the burn, and occasionally I draw cards. It's like a volcano, effectively. But as it exists right now, I think this card needs some iteration. But the idea of drawing for kills, like that, to me, this is what the card can be boiled down to. Is you play a card, it deals damage, and you draw for each enemy you kill. I think that's compelling design. The issue is the current stat wide, like the current stat line of this card, cost and damage output is way.
Yeah, it's definitely miscost.
Yeah. Okay. To Noxious's point, something that Blizzard did really bad at first that they've gotten better at was designing cards that are defensive, but do not lose you tempo. And what I mean by that is because you always gain a mana crystal. You don't have to worry about drawing lands, so you always get a mana crystal. So, I talked about this in this show before, but you can play a card on curve every turn. So, even if I have 4 minions on the board by turn 4 and you somehow wipe my whole board, I play a minion that costs 5 mana. And it's like, hello, now deal with this. And you're behind again. You're like, well, and you end up taking chip damage here and there every turn because you can't clear every single turn, and you end up behind, and then you end up dying because the defensive cards don't do more than just stop them. Like Planet Taunt Minion isn't enough. You need some turn where you get ahead in a tempo if the minions are trading directly for the Taunt Minions. So I think that like clearing and then drawing, I really like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Next up, we've got Immortal Lion. This is another two from the Immortal Lion collection, which he's sending like
Immortal Lion is a recurring submission master of Mechathorx cards at this point.
Okay, so we got a priest card this time. It's a 2-mana, 2/3, Whimsical Mind, Epic, Battlecry, discover a basic hero power, and then Death Rattle, regain lesser heal. So it's kind of like what we talked, a little bit of like what you were talking about, right?
See, I really don't mind this.
Yeah, so you basically get to use it for a turn.
Or you could purify it and silence it if you want to keep that hero power.
Oh, I didn't think about that either.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would do that, but, it, you know, including purifying my deck to Whimsical Mind. But
yeah, but silencing it, yes.
You could play this in a silence deck if you're looking for another hero power specifically.
Yeah, and this comes up as a death rattle, too. I mean, you could...
Okay, with Rust of the Chain, you could play, you know, Reno, Kazakus, Youthful Brewmaster, play this, bounce it back, never replay it, Raza, Hunter, hero power, go face. Change your game plan right there.
What would you use it for? Maybe Life Tap or...
I don't know. I think it's going to be a meme deck.
Yeah, probably a meme
deck.
It's
a meme card. Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the only problem with this card is that if I'm in Arena, I don't want to see this as one of my epics.
That's a good that's
my Arena good runs, man. Oh, you know what? We didn't get a chance to talk about Arena yet, but I'll
like
come
this
back
card,
to that.
Though. I do. I like it. I mean, this is like, you can't make this card a legendary because if it's a legendary, it takes up a legendary slot and it's not good enough to be a legendary. But I like the... It's fun.
The text is epic.
It doesn't need to be
text. The text is epic text. So I think it is right in that standpoint.
Yeah.
It's memey. I would agree with that. The next one he has is Master of the Fleet. This is Rogue. 5-mana, 5/5, Pirate. Epic, Death Rattle, shuffle 2 copies of Patches the Pirate into your deck. What you think?
So I don't think it's very good. I mean, it's too late to be super good, but it's also... I actually don't mind it. I like the concept of
it. It's not bad. It's not
bad. I think I'm okay with it.
I mean, everybody's first reaction to patches is like, oh my god, no.
No, but I'm okay with this. It's like a semi-gang up. The issue is like, it's a 5-mana 7/7, basically.
Yeah, it's 5-mana 7/7 with some, you know, potential finish, too, with Cold Bloods and things like that, right?
Sure, but that's the point. It's like, it's giving you pings, basically. It's giving you 2 mage hero powers to draw on whenever you play a pirate.
I think it's fair. It's very fair. What do you think?
5-mana 5/5.
There's probably some broken. See, the rat's trying to think of some broken thing that you can do with it. Look at him.
Unearthed raptor.
look at the cogs churning here, trying to figure out what it is.
It's not a battle cry.
I think
so this card
is insanely balanced.
Yeah, it's insanely balanced, right?
Maybe
it's too. It's like too perfect. I don't have anything bad.
Maybe it should be a 5/4 or a 4/5.
I don't know, because then it would be bad.
Fine.
As a 5/5, I think it's fine. It's like
it's fine.
The guy. Like, this is probably the best.
You gotta run more pirates too. I mean, you have to remember that.
You don't necessarily have to run more pirates. You wouldn't play this in like Miracle.
No.
You'd run it in like the Menagerie Rogue.
Yeah.
In Menagerie Rogue, you'd play this. In Temple Rogue, at some point, I'm sure you could find a spot for this.
So you could play this alongside the Sea Captain, and then you could play him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of important factors that you need to take into account when you look at this card, and that's that, like, you need to put it within the context of the Rogue class, which, I guess, to explain shortly, is that you usually run out of cards. If you play this card on turn 5, yes, South Sea Captain is a 3-mana 3/3 that brings out 2/2/2s now. That's insane. I get that. But having cards in your hand at that point as Rogue is not easy because of the cards that are good in Rogue, like Backstab, etc. usually require you to dump your hand. Then you need to recoup that those lost cards. And the way that they do that is they run, well, either a card, they used to run cards like Sprint, which are less desirable compared to like Auctioneer, but also because this is a 5-mana card, it takes up the Drake's slot, which is a huge deal because the Drake draws you a card in terms of like having cards left over post turn 5. So like the South Sea Captain, where the card would be a little bit on the more powerful side, isn't as bad as it seems, just yeah. because it's probably a situation where the rogue's already running a little low on cards. So it's like a South Sea Captain would get played with like a dagger.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you're 7/7 that equipped the weapon, which is still good. But yeah. it's not insane. And you had to hold the South Sea Captain until a later turn.
Which you so want to play early like just to get your normal passes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good card.
I really it's like
interesting
this
card.
I think it might be a little too good, but I can't tell. It seems really balanced. Like, I think you would take it as it is, and you would play with it and find out. Like, yeah.
It's definitely
like,
interesting. This is the like kind of card that I would, you know, these are the kinds of cards I'd like to see if they're going to mess around with a tribe, you know? So that's yeah. definitely cool. Let me bring up one of yours now. Knock it.
Oh yeah, I submitted two. So those have already shown up in previous Mecha Tours, but I'm sure most people have never seen them before, because they're like buried under video upon video on the YouTube channel. And I figured I'd bring them back out because I spoke about them recently on a stream, and we had a blast. So the first of them is Bashana Rune Totem. So it's a character in the lore, not really important. Legendary card for druids specifically.
Oh my god!
6/6/5 spell damage +2. Whenever this minion attacks, you shuffle 10 Moonfires into your deck. So it has to attack. It wow. has to attack. And you're shuffling a bunch of Garbo up in there. And the hope is that you can make something happen with it. So, of course, if she attacks, you're good. Because now you have, like, you know, a lot of cycle in that deck. But if she's just 6/5 for 6, she's probably not attacking. At least not in the world that we live in.
Auctioneer for the win, baby.
Sure, if you attack. You have to attack with her first, though, right? Good luck, is my point. So, do you ever play this in your druid deck or not? I posited this question to you, the rat, for I believe this card is actually not as good as it seems. If
I mean, the spell damage by itself is, I mean, it's not terrible.
It's 6 mana for +2.
It is 6 mana instead of 5.
Yeah. It's...
There's like, I can evaluate cards that are within like a realm. A possibility. Once you're out of that realm, it's like
yeah,
it's like 10 Moonfires in your deck isn't good. It's actually quite bad.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
especially if you're running auctioneers.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, if you're running auctioneers, obviously, if you get the auctioneer out with a Moonfire, then maybe you can chain a bunch of Moonfires, and that sounds sweet. Like, don't get me wrong, that's good, but like.
You slap down the Yogg and say, like, "Yeah, baby."
You slap down the Yogg. Is it in your hand though?
You have to connect, though. It's not like he automatically puts it in, so then all of a sudden it makes it want to get removed. But maybe 10 is like too many. Maybe it only needs spell damage 1. I don't know. I'd have to play with it. It's really too hard.
I think
to tell.
Spell damage 2 is intriguing. That's the part that the card makes me even think that it's.
I think
okay.
this card's never okay, though. Like, this card's never just okay. It's either horrible or it's completely broken.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Jade Idol to me. That's when I made this card, I thought, you know, this is
pretty
the type of card that single-handedly fuels an archetype.
But it's
like it creates an archetype in and of itself, or it just does nothing. It's one or the other. There's no pull. It's like very polarized in an outcome.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not as.
I've seen this art before.
Have you? Cool. Okay.
It's
probably
on
one card in WoW TCG.
I have the WoW mini. You ever played WoW minis?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that was a
good
game.
All right, next one.
Next one is Blade Storm. It's a warrior epic spell. Discard a random weapon and deal damage equal to its attack to all enemy minions. So, of course, warriors don't really need more board clears. They've got Brawl. But at 3 mana, you lose a Reaper, you lose a Gore Howl, you clean up board. You pretty much do that. And you maintain tempo since you deal damage to enemy minions and not your own. So you lose a card. You basically pay 2 cards to clean up the board. It's it's what Blade Flurry should have been
before equipped.
My contention is this is what Blade Flurry should have become. Maybe, I don't know. The card seems bad, but maybe Weapon Warrior's a thing.
That's interesting. I mean, you could use it with Fiery War Axe, and I mean, there's so many weapons that you could.
Yeah. Reaper, you can ditch it. You have too many weapons, you do something with them.
There's many instances where you have too many you might have one, not many instances, but there's some instances where you have one too many weapon at times. You could be maybe a little selective of what you do with your first weapons instead of just like anticipating something and just going face, or I don't know, something like that. But the concept of discarding something in your hand and dealing damage based on an attribute of it is interesting.
It's like a hand Shadow Flame.
Yeah.
If this were a Warlock card, it would discard the card and deal damage equal to its attack, which of course would be probably completely busted. But with weapons, it's more specific.
And that card would be absolutely completely busted in Warlock as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, the best boss to happen.
It would be so wrong.
Completely nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd never be able to have that card.
So. Well, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool.
This card, I like this card too.
Yeah.
But I don't know how good it is. Warrior is so interesting because even though you have those cards like Brawl, you also have like good single target removal like Shield Slam and Execute. So you're, and this, I think this is where like a lot of the meat of playing Control Warrior really well comes from, and that's that you need to decide what you want to use your single target move on. And yeah, it's easy to say, oh, well, you just hold on to Shield Slam to kill Antonitis or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not about those types of matchups where it comes into play. It's about the matchups where you're looking at a board versus Zoo and you're like, do I need to Shield Slam this Darkshire Councilman now, or do I just wait two turns, take six, and then Brawl?
Yeah.
And that's when it becomes interesting. And the Control Warrior isn't necessarily that great at drawing cards. Like, it has like some ways to do it, like Slam and stuff. But that's not enough to make up for a card that would require two from your hand, I think. But at the same time, this is a really powerful effect. But then you also need to run weapons. And when you run weapons in this card, then you have less minions and cycles, so then that also counteracts it. So I think like effects like this could definitely be explored more. I'm not sure how good or bad this card is.
It's creative though.
It seems but it just a tad bit underpowered, but I like the idea. So
yeah, and it's more about just adding ideas to the game. You know, this is like the kind of complexity I'd like to see, you know, add to the game. I mean, obviously more complexity in a crazy way would be great, but if it's just purely with the cards and with the mechanics and the limitations that they do have right now with cards, you know, this is the kind of thing that is great. It's great to see, you know, what happens, you know, if this ends up going out there, especially with Warrior.
Yeah, it would look like turn two, Novice Engineer, Loot Hoarder, like turn three,
yeah,
Acolyte,
exactly.
And then you're like, turn four, well, I have a ton of cards anyway, so I'm just going to Blade Storm your board. And I'm going to discard this weapon. And in discarding a card to accomplish an effect is extremely common in Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
For example, like, there are plenty of cards that do this exact same thing. There's actually a card called Lightning Vortex that does exactly this, basically. It's discard a card, destroy every creature that's face up on your opponent's side of the board or whatever. And it's like very, very common. And one thing that's interesting about a card like this that you won't get to see necessarily as much in Hearthstone, because it doesn't take advantage of a graveyard mechanic outside of Onyx Bishop and other random effects, is that you can actually pitch something that you intend to revive, which creates scenarios where cards like this that aren't quite good enough, like a card where maybe Blazestorm isn't quite good enough, well, all of a sudden I can run it because I'm pitching
an
injured Blade Master that's going to come back with an Onyx Bishop. You know, and it's like stuff, and I get to choose or something. So
yeah,
I don't think this card would be good in Hearthstone. In this stat distribution, and I'm not sure how easy it is to balance to actually make it playable. But I like the idea, and even if people could just use it for fun, I think that's fine as well.
Yeah, it's the type of card that I like.
I bet people could figure out a good way to use it.
Like, it's super simple and elegant to get. But then it adds this deck building layer of complexity where suddenly you have to make up for it. And that's where you end up like brewing a ton of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I can see this in control, some type of control where
the problem is when you start thinking about like how the card fits together within a 30 card deck, you start having to make room and cut things that make your deck way less smooth when you aren't reaching when you aren't seeing the situations that you want to see with Bladestorm in your deck. And then it's becoming more challenging to build a deck that operates smoothly.
Yeah.
And that's what Hearthstone really comes down to.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thanks, Noxious, for bringing those two cards. And I think all we've got some questions that we have this week. We've actually got a few, but kind of running out of time, so maybe we just get to a couple of these. Waldo G is a new player, so want to make sure the show, you know, we address some new players, you know, questions and things. So he recently started playing Hearthstone and has really enjoyed the first few hours. He says, I've played to rank 20 in competitive and feel like I'm completely stuck, although I have pretty good understanding of the game, at least at this rank. I feel like I either play someone with basic cards and do well, but it's when I play better decks at this low rank, I really don't know how it's possible that I feel like I have no chance. So I wanted to ask, what is the best way to obtain solid cards other than just paying for them? What is the best way to spend gold? And I realize what the model of free-to-play game is, and understand the way to do something is to pay for it, but what is the best way to assemble or look for a good deck online, as I either have none of the cards or decks might not work currently? You know, I guess so. He just doesn't have all the cards, basically. I mean, it's a lot to do with what's the best way to spend your gold. You know, what's the most efficient way to get cards, I think is the general question there.
Well, I think the general consensus is buy adventures first. You get a lot more bang for your buck. But then if you're looking, like, there, I feel like right now, since you need at least Pashes and aggro decks, right? I mean, I guess Zoo doesn't need it, but then you need Finn.
Zoo is always the go-to when it comes to something like this.
I was going to say, like, Zoo is probably the easiest thing to build, because it's probably going to stay good and get better, right? Like, from here, it can only go up. Like, it'd be hard to have it go down.
Yeah, even when Zoo isn't good enough to be played by professionals in a high, like, very well, it could almost always get to rank 5. And the reason why that is because the Warlock hero power works so well with a bunch of cheap minions. And even when it's not the best deck, you could usually do pretty well with it if you have a good understanding of how to play it. So
Well, I would say, if you know, since we've got the standard rotation coming in, you can get Karazhan. Is the only adventure that's going to stick around. And if the cards in there are good for your deck, like, pick a deck and try to figure out where the cards are. That's the first thing.
You
like,
want
to
pick up.
Have a goal in mind.
You want to pick up BR. Goal in mind is definitely important. You want to pick up BRM and LOE, though, to get the dust, right? Because it's just efficient. Or is that not true of those expansions?
Well, like, I don't know. Because
I mean, it's not as efficient as actually getting cards you don't have, though. And those cards are going to be retired, right, from standard.
But the dust you get, it's more on average than opening up a pack, like by far, I'm pretty sure. I don't know the exact stats on those two expansions, but from what I understand, that's the case. Like I have a friend who just started playing. I recommended. He just actually was here at my house last night. He goes, "Do you think I should buy BRM just to dust it?"
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
The math actually adds up to yes, because you get, I think, 5 legendaries baseline. I don't want to lie, but I think you get 5 legendaries. And that's enough to, like, that's like 4K dust right there, right? Like, that's,
I see. That makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty sizable amount. And then you've got rares and commons in 2 copies of each.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. And he, you know, question between whether to play Arena or not. I would not play Arena until you're very, very familiar with the game. You know, like, keep playing Constructed. Yeah.
I mean,
unless you're willing to invest, you know, like, you're going to lose some gold in the beginning when you're getting familiar with Arena and the cards and everything. And then you'll probably swing it back, but. You know, you'll have to be able to go through that period.
Yeah. First off, if you're listening this week, Waldo, if you're listening to this, you're already way ahead of the curve.
That's true.
I'll say. And if you feel like you're playing well, honestly, and you want to, like, watch some Arena streamers and then just kind of, like, get an idea, or even if you use just the Arena drafting thing, I imagine you're already, like, decently close to the average, if not above, to where you need to be. And I think that if you think that you are confident in your Arena skill, playing Arena is a good way, if you enjoy it, to get cards, honestly, if you're trying to be just free. Sure. Something to keep in mind if you have this type of mindset is that if you're trying to play the game without paying for it or with minimal money involvement, you're going to have to accept that you're going to get some losses on your way to collecting all the cards or collecting the cards you need. Like, you're not going to be able to beat everybody. And, you know, even if you're a better player and your opponent makes a bunch of mistakes and you can see them, you got to be ready to, like, be okay with that if they're just playing a better deck that's just more powerful. So I think that's definitely one of the most important things. Like, even though you're at rank 20 and you feel it's really low, if you're competing against people who are playing top decks and you're taking losses, You kind of just have to accept it or try to maybe find a car that's really unique or a way to tackle it. And like maybe just running two Swampoos against, like, yeah, you play two Swampoos and you lose to a bunch of control decks, but maybe you're playing a bunch of Pyrus and it sounds ridiculous, but just throw them in there. And then maybe you get to like rank 15.
Right. No, you know, you don't have to, you know, the hardest part about folks like Waldo here is that doesn't have all the cards is that you get into the cycle where you're like net decking, you're looking at places. Maybe he doesn't actually even know about net decking, but if you are interested in decks, you can go.
Well, yeah, he's looking.
Yeah. I mean,
he wants,
yeah. And so
you're trying to find out how to,
I mean, you can go to Hearthstone. You know, Hearthstone has a bunch of decks.
What should I do with
Temple
my
Storm. Temple Storm or Hearthstone both have a bunch of decks. So, but if you're looking to try to fill the gaps, that's where, you know, it's about just kind of understanding, you know, deck building and just like what some of these cards that you do have can achieve. And it's not going to look like it sometimes, you know, sometimes you'll be playing Corsairs, you know, and things like that, you know, that's just
you
how it
play
is.
Harrison Jones, but yeah. You have an ooze. You got to work with what you got.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And I think that if you are really good at the game and you work with what you got, with what the basic cards are, I think you can definitely climb the ladder from where you're at.
It's mostly control decks though. Those rank. That's the problem. Like beating a control deck, like a Reno deck as a starting player is just, it's an uphill battle really. Like that's, I think you can tech against aggro easier.
I hadn't considered.
Yeah, it's really,
I hadn't
tough,
considered
man.
The concept. I hadn't considered the concept that Reno is balanced within the sense that other people will be running optimized aggro decks. But
right.
If you don't have an optimized aggro deck, then Reno becomes a lot better and it's easier to get a deck of, I don't know, but that's
pretty crazy.
Not true. But that makes a lot of sense to me because the aggro deck won't be optimized.
Yeah.
So the only
sense.
Way to counter that would be to run cards that are like good Super against control,
free,
but not very
just
good.
Make no
like
sense.
The 1-1.
But
what's
not,
the one? That's,
you know, but,
yeah,
but,
that's not really a viable option.
But this is a normal problem. Like this isn't a problem that's just like unique to Hearthstone. I mean, if you don't have the cards when you're playing people that do have the cards, it's already an unlevel playing field. So
one solution is to go to the subreddit and make a post about how Blizzard doesn't care about free to play players.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's always going to net you at the very least karma and upvote. So you're starting on the right foot. You're right there.
Oh,
you've got.
Man.
Hi, I'm Waldo. I'm playing, and after 2 weeks, I'm very discouraged.
Oh, gosh. Wait, he's not asking for Heart. He's asking for Hearthstone meta, not Hearthstone subreddit meta. Okay. All right. So we got
best of luck though.
Yeah, definitely best of luck, and yeah, keep the questions coming. It'd be kind of interesting to see like how you do after like another month or so. Ahmed and
Zoo.
Yeah. Focus on one deck. Focus on one deck.
I say Zoo.
Only one deck. Zoo. Yeah. Just focus on that.
There's a lot of tech cards in the game that aren't good enough to see professionals playing them or people that are at the top of the ladder, but they're good enough to win at your rank if you're playing them, and they usually fit into Zoo.
Yep.
So I'd say Zoo.
Okay, so Ahmed N, our regular, asks, what do you guys think of printing a very few neutral tech cards that counteract meta instead of nerfs? Or are these type of cards bad for the game? Like, for instance, he has printing an anti-pirate, you know, specifically for pirate. Type of card, or a Jade Destroyer, or a neutral beneath the grounds effect, that sort of thing. Is it bad to have something so specific like that? I mean, we see some stuff like, you know, silencing a Death Rattle card, or, you know, things that are specific to certain mechanics in the game. But I think this one's more tribal. I don't know. What do you guys think?
So the problem, it depends, because again, we've talked about adding like corrections to the metagame in the past, you know, like every 2 weeks they release a patch and they add a corrective card to the metagame. Issues are kind of forcing cycles in and out, and then it becomes a matter of when they're going to be done cycling. So we just go back in circles. And I think the idea of like neutral cards that are hard counters, unless they're super competitively statted, they're never played. Like it's very rare, at least.
Like the Hungry Crab.
Hungry Crab against Murloc. It's not that no one plays Finja, is that, you know, it's too late when it comes out. So you need like specifically a card that kills Finja alone, not a Kodo, because Kodo can hit something random. It would have to be kill a stealth minion with 3 or less attack, and then it just becomes ridiculous to print those specific tech cards. But I would have liked to see an anti-Jade card in the Jade set. I would have liked to see an anti-quest card in the quest set. I don't know if we're going to get one, but I would like a card that delays the progress of a quest. You know, tell someone, you lose one progress. Like, I would like to see them add some counterplay in the says that they release stuff in, because at least if the mechanic gets out of hand for whatever reason, at least there's a correction to it within the set. And
you know what would be funny is if they,
I don't know,
some of the Death Rattle ones, I mean, the Battlecry ones, you can't do much, but like Aya, right? Like, you convert Aya into like a Ruby. A Ruby type of minion, so she's not Jade anymore or something like that. That'd be kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah, otherwise, I don't know how you'd have to. I mean, that wouldn't necessarily reset the counter, though. I think that, you know, we're talking about messing with the counter, and especially with the Jade mechanic. But overall, I think it's fine to add. I just think that they're just so niche that if that thing just falls out of the meta, that card is just completely worthless. And
that's fun.
When you're designing cards, it's not a very efficient way to design cards, right?
It's nearly impossible to do this in Hearthstone, man. Like, if the card is good, then it completely pushes archetype out of the meta, so it's an absolute correction.
That's what I mean.
And if the card is bad, it doesn't see play, even if the deck is in the meta. Like, let's say, for example, you could play Kazan in your deck. Kazan Mystic is a card that used to steal a secret. Mm-hmm. You could play it and justify it, even with the downside. Because it was a 4-3, and the upside was good enough that you could run it. Now, if you take a card like Eater of Secrets, unplayable. Rarely ever seen play. And you could say, well, some people played it. Like, Zixo played one of his decks, but did he do well with it? And you could say, well, he played a small number of games or whatever. But the reality is that the card's not very good, Eater of Secrets, when your opponent doesn't have a secret. So the card, even though it's effective at countering secrets, you don't see it because it's not good enough statted when secrets aren't on the board.
You could even make you can make an argument too that just stealing a secret is better than buffing your own.
It definitely is.
No question.
Without a doubt, it is. That's why I said it's better against secrets even than the Eater Secrets was. So you enter this area where the card needs to be not so good that it just can see play in a deck because it's good enough. And then when you go up against pirates, for instance, you just absolutely decimate them because then you won't see any pirate decks in the meta. But it can't be so bad that you don't see it, because even though it counters pirates, it's absolutely awful against everything else. And the question answer, the way it works in Hearthstone is, there's a lot of opportunity cost in holding onto a card to counter something else if you don't have other plays. And because you only run two ofs and the one of like legendary, like Finjord, to run a Kodo to stop a one of legendary, like if you do the math, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you're better off just accepting the percentage that they have Finja and, like, the percentage you lose in running Kodo. And that's just, unfortunately, the way the game works, given the, you know, the amount of cards in the deck, the limitations on what cards you can run in the deck, and the health totals and stuff. Like, that all creates basically what is our game, Hearthstone, that we play. Mm-hmm. And within that, counter cards just aren't very feasible in basic forms. You need to find a really creative way to do it,
right?
I don't know if I imagine it exists, but it's extremely difficult, and I personally don't have any
ideas. Here's a great example of a counter card that came up recently. You know Sylvanas, how she's being rotated out? You know that 5-mana 2/2 that was perfect to beat Sylvanas in a 1v1,
right?
Deals 5 damage, they steal it, they take 5 afterwards. No one played it. It's not because it was like not a counter card. It was like they literally wrote on it, kill Sylvanas, give this to them, and they take 5.
Noxious just blew my mind.
I never even thought of it like that.
What's the name of the card again? The girl with the bomb?
I forget.
It's a 2/2. It's a 2/2.
Technician? I
looked at her a lot when I was doing the streamer showdown stuff. I forget the name.
But she is like a 1-for-1 with Sylvanas.
That's
and
true.
You get
I never even thought of it like
on
that.
Top of it. Yeah. It is so flawless the way they tried to make an anti-Sylvanas card. But the issue, and they even printed a 6-mana 5/7 Defias guy to silence her. They printed 2 cards to beat Syl, and she still saw play, and the counter cards didn't work out. And barring something like silence and eat and consume the stats and restore 17 health to your guy, like at some point they can't
bomb
just keep
squad.
Stacking like over. Again. Yeah, that's the card. They can't keep stacking buffs on a card. So
yeah,
it's one of those things where, like, as you said, answers are a lot tougher to make good without going overboard. And that's what
It's like Streetwise Investigator. You're not going to see that car because Finch is in play. Like Stealth Rogue, even if it was good, you probably still wouldn't see that because it's like you got to have a minion on the board already. Then they have to play a stealth minion. Then your minion has to take advantage of killing their minion. It's just like a completely unreasonable thing to happen. Like you have to have the board and then you have to kill their minion. And it's like, well, what outside of like Shaku and Fincher, that's not even that great. It's like, well, I put an understated minion and then I killed your minion. Okay, well, I was going
to
do that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just not a very elegant way to do it. And, you know, we're only talking about it is because of, there's a mechanic that's just so imposing, you know, and it scales like crazy. So you know, that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this, Jade in particular.
People hate Jades.
But generally speaking, if you're talking about just counter cards and swing cards and things like that, it's not an elegant way to do it. It doesn't encourage great gameplay either. It's the kind of things that you know we generally don't like, you know, added to the game. So I think that's a very difficult thing to add to the game, like you guys were saying. Okay, well, why don't we wrap up the show? It's been a nice, solid show, and we can get to playing some Heroic Tavern Brawl now. I kind of can't wait to give it a try at least later on tonight. But The Rat, man, good stuff. Drop some knowledge bombs as always, but thanks for coming on, bud. You got any shout-outs you want to do?
Shout-out to my team, Splice, as usual. Also, my Twitch, I'm going to be streaming now. Twitch.tv/TheRat.
No. Except for not with a new one.
I didn't stream for a whole year.
Really? Oh. Yeah. I guess you were just making videos.
I stream occasionally, but not like regularly. Like,
for rants.
Yeah, for rants.
Like it was rat streaming rants. For the rat rants.
Seen the rat rants. That's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm streaming for rent.
Rent. Okay.
I see how it
rearrange
works.
The
I'm actually streaming because I feel like I talk to a lot of people who are higher up in the Hearthstone community, and this isn't slang as anyone in particular, but a lot of them say, like, you know, I'm just doing this Hearthstone and this esports thing while it lasts, you know, I'm just trying to like get in while I can or whatever. And I think that there's not enough community building, and it might be a little cocky of me, but I'm gonna take it upon myself to try to do something like that.
Go, boy. I mean,
you go.
We need more.
You go, man.
We need more.
Yeah. Kind of I'm totally behind you, 100%.
In that vein, I run a thing called the Rat Race. It's like a race to legend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be posting later and announcing it, but I'm going to have one for April. We've had people like Dog compete in it.
Yeah.
Where he streamed for 23 hours straight, and he didn't win, but he had like 20,000 viewers, and man, they loved watching him struggle.
Yeah, if you're not an avid visitor to the competitive Hearthstone subreddit, you know, things like the rat rant's been a regular post on that subreddit for a while now. I just never maybe it made it to the regular Hearthstone subreddit 1 month, right?
Maybe
I think
sure.
Maybe one
but
month
the but rat race did,
yeah,
and that's like I'm able to partner with Maturino for the first time, so I'm able to get some funding under my legs. And basically what it was before is people would just pool in money, and the winner would get the money, and there was no one profiting. And this time I'm going to be able to get behind Maturino. They're going to put some money in and allow for some crowdfunding, and they're going to match it. So I'm hoping to get a bigger prize pool, which would get more big streamers to participate. And I think it's a fun way to enhance the otherwise maybe mundane or stale climb to legend of the ladder. So
just more events, you know, more little events and things like that, or just things that the community can, you know, like you said, just we can have some a little fun, just a competition or something different. Use the ladder in a different way, you know, that sort of thing. That's great.
Yeah, Blizzard's not doing it, so someone has to.
They're supposed to do these, like, fun things, right? There's no mention of the fun things yet, and it's, like, March already, right? I'm waiting for these things, guys. what are these fun tournaments we're supposed to see? But, yeah, so cool. Yeah, definitely check that out, guys. You know, check his stream out, and I guess be on the lookout for that. You can follow him on Twitter, too. His Twitter's, like, right there on the overlay. And Noxious, wait actually, no, you didn't change your Twitter, did you?
I did, but you got it right.
I got it right, right? Well, no, I mean, right, it's all
cat. I did change it.
Yeah okay. I thought I was like crazy for a second. Yeah, because
I changed it yesterday. I finally got the rat.
Yeah, that's kind of why I edited it. I was just having like a weird brain fart there for a second. Okay, great. I know you wanted the R capitalized though, right? Noxious, yeah. You want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to my team as usual. Shout out to you for putting the show together.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll get a bit of a backtracking, but shout out to the, you know, Streamer Showdown people that showed up. You know, the participants. I really had a blast on that show. Hopefully we get another one that's just as good. And as far as streams go, I stream on Noxious_GG. You know, I change this from HS to GG because lately I've just been streaming Gwent and HexTCG and whatever it is I have on my mind aside from not competitive, but ladder Hearthstone. I can't play fun decks anymore. I've accepted it. I just, the fun is dead. If you want to play pure memes, you have to go to wild casual and then you can have fun. But if you try to go on ladder anywhere, you're going to get dominated. So I've been resorting to Arena, which has been honestly fantastic. I really like Standard Arena. It actually made me understand what I loved about MTG's drafting system, and it is very simple. There's a rotating card pool. That's it. Like it's a restricted card pool that rotates whenever a new expansion comes out. So Arena for me is fantastic right now. So I'll be doing some of that on the channel as well.
Are you using Hearth? I mean, I'm doing the same thing. Are you using Hearth Arena? I'm trying not to use Hearth Arena.
No,
so
you don't need it usually, frankly. It's
It will help you out a great deal. It's just I don't know. I'm just the type that likes to, you know, I'll fail, but I'll
turn on Hearth Arena 100%, man. Yeah, you are any arenas. I don't know. Like, I can tell you, obviously, like, Abyssal Enforcer is a good card in Arena, man, but like, I want to see, I don't know Arena, like, there's a shortcut. Like, I'm still going to use my, I'm not the kind of person who's going to be like 80, 90, 100. That's better. But I'm going to use my mind a bit, but I enjoy the extra guidelines.
I mean, you will find that you have to contest their picks. Like, not have the time, but like, let's say out of like 10 picks they'll give you, there's got to be one or two that are just not going to be right for your deck. Especially near the end.
So, I mean, the real question, I meant to actually talk about this earlier because it was on the show notes, but I just skipped over on accident. But, you know, the real question is whether there is something to benefit from, you know, you just kind of not using it in the beginning and just kind of experiencing Arena like from the get-go, or is something like a Hearth Arena more, it is a reference that you actually need to you know, give yourself the direction, you know, whether it's it's like reading a textbook, you know, you don't have to read a textbook.
Exactly.
Like, man, you know, like, if you're trying to have fun in card games, you should do the least amount of net decking.
That's what I'm doing right now. Yeah, exactly.
That's personally not what I'm into. I have fun competing and winning, but like, if you actually want to enjoy something, it's just like, you don't want to hear about a show. You don't want to spoil, you don't want a show spoiled for you. Like, why would you go and spoil, like, what Hearthstone could be to you, like, if you're not really that interested? Like, at some point, maybe you'll decide, I really want to get more invested in the game in that type of way. But prior to that, like, why go and try to ruin it for yourself?
As sad as that sounds. It's pretty... It's the truth. Like, there are some cards or some picks where I'm just like, oh, my God. I have no idea which one's better here. Like, I literally have no idea which one's better here. And
so you pick one, man, and then you see if it works.
Exactly.
If I
pick one and I give myself a reason for picking it, and then kind of, you know, mental note, you know, later on to see how it kind of worked out. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've tried not to look at any of those things.
I have one tip for you.
Yeah.
Crazed Alchemist is better than it looks.
Crazed Alchemist? Okay.
That's the only tip I have for you going forward. I've discovered, not recently, but like a while back, that card was my biggest automatically dismissed card.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, since I've been drafting it, because I took a chance, it's just been winning just every time.
It's ridiculous. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, for me, I just round out with thank you, the two of you guys, for doing the show, and everybody for watching. Follow the show's Twitter at ValueTownGG, and you can find the show VODs on youtube.com/ShamMV a little bit later, and of course the audio feeds will be up shortly after, like right after, by iTunes a little bit later. I want to give a shout out to, just like Noxious, to all the folks I watched. I mean, Streamer Showdown, like, viewership was incredible. Yeah. And
seriously, shout out to both of you on that.
Yeah,
that was I watched it. I don't even watch that kind of stuff, honestly. Like, that's a huge, I really like that kind of content, so I think that it was fun and a lot of people enjoyed it. So shout out to both of you on that, and of course this, but that was above and beyond.
Yeah, so we were really, really happy with it. I mean, I was, you know, I was definitely spending a lot, I mean, way more time on this particular episode than any of the other ones we'd done. So having it work out so well and just have just some freaking epic moments,
I mean,
it was really gratifying. And, you know, thanks to, obviously, the community for enjoying it. I mean, it's awesome. There's definitely going to be more soon. You know, have more games and more details in the near future. So keep on the lookout. That's going to be it, though, for this week for Value Town. For the Rat, Noxious, and myself, Chan Man V. We'll see you next week.
Later. Peace.